Hello, you're listening to Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast, presented by Brandon Elliott. This show will be going over all aspects of real estate investing and is intended to educate, motivate, and prepare you to take action on your first or next real estate investment. For more information, please visit BrandonElliottInvestments.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone, to Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Brandon Elliott, and today I'm excited. We got somebody that has been in the game for the last 5+ years, 7+ states, 150 rentals in Arizona, just been doing some crazy stuff with real estate and a bunch of cool stories that we're going to kind of unlock here. We want to talk about some mistakes that investors are making with their IRA accounts. This is kind of like touching my heart right here because I'm a credit guy, right? You guys know that. So his very first property bought with a credit card with a Visa. I love that. I've done similar things in the very beginning as well. And so really can't wait to just have you on here, Damon. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing awesome, man. It's we're breaking into summer, get a little bit of heat, and just enjoying the transition. I think a lot of things are transitioning and in a positive way. And here we go. Another one of those happening.
I love it. And you must be a tech guy to a certain degree, because before getting on, you're mentioning like, hey, we got Tesla over at the house right now. They're installing solar panels. There's a bunch of crazy noise going on. I can't hear any of that. So we're in good shape. But if you get distracted, by all means, we'll know. So talk to me. What is your background? How'd you get into real estate? For anybody out there that doesn't know who you are, where you're from, could you give us that 30,000 foot view?
Yeah. So I'm from Alaska. I moved down to civilization in the 90s and started, ultimately I got thrown out of college because I started a bookstore on campus and they got pissed off because I put the other bookstore out of business. And then I just realized this isn't for me. I'm meant to be doing something destructive, creative. So I went out and started selling insurance. And when I was doing that in the late 90s, I started reading some interesting books from a guy named Donald Trump, who became the president, and a guy named Robert Kiyosaki and some other real estate stuff. And I said, you know what, this insurance stuff is there's not enough money here. So I got all wound up in my very early 20s. And a buddy of mine came over and said, hey, I got this deal and I'm interested. I want to do the deal. You want to be my partner? And I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, you got to be the money. And I said, I don't have any money. I'm a broke insurance agent. He's like, yeah, well, it's only $6,000. So I said, all right, well, I can take a cash advance on my credit card, and did that at the very end, New Year's Eve, 1999, bought my first piece of property, took the cash advance out and went and took over a property. And then from there, went to a bunch of seminars, did what they told me to do, and replicated that over and over. And over the next 5 years, bought 150 houses, and then expanded, and I made millions of dollars, thought I was Superman. And in 2008, took it all away plus some, and went from 20 million to negative 5 million in 12 months. So I had like this whole cycle of being poor to being rich to being poor again and homeless. And so a lot of learning there, and really a lot of gratitude for that experience. Wasn't fun in the middle of it, not fun living in your car, but it was important to go through. And it taught me that no matter what the failures are, they're not going to eat you and they're not going to kill you almost always. Like when I was in Alaska, Brandon, I remember I took out the trash in the Arctic Circle, and if I made a mistake and didn't notice a polar bear out there, they would literally eat me. So there are times where failures can potentially eat you, but real estate is not one of them.
I love that. That's so true, man. So many people live in fear too. And I always like to look at it like, well, what's the worst case that could actually happen to you? You know, like, yeah, you lose all your money. Okay. Well, money comes and goes, right? And you're a living example of that. So it doesn't make or break the character of who you are. Obviously, it doesn't feel good to be in a bad, negative position, right? Especially from where you make it up. Obviously, you always want to be on that side again, of course. But I've been in the car homeless for a couple of days. Luckily, I had some good friends that ended up pulling me in once they heard of the story. But yeah, man, I think it's all part of like how you made it successful and all the endeavors that you're doing now. It's pretty damn impressive, man. I love it.
I think this goes to the thing that I didn't really understand in the beginning, and that is, if you fall in love with the outcome versus the process, you're in a lot of trouble, because the outcomes are going to come and go. They're not going to be what you think they're going to be. They're going to change. And what I've found is that when I fall in love with whatever I'm doing, whether it's real estate or building companies or even employee issues, whatever those things are, being in the process and being happy there, it's kind of like training for a marathon. If you think that it's all about just crossing the finish line, that's the only part of it, or an Ironman or whatever, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, like all these things, and the money stuff is no different. You really have to find the joy in the process, because that's where you're going to spend most of your life. And if it's just about the money, like, unfortunately, people say, well, when I have the money, then I'll be happy. And I shake my head and I'm like, you know what? It's not how it works. But usually people have to go through it before they realize it. And I wish I could explain that to everybody, but sometimes you have to touch the hot stones.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I used to be one of those people saying, like, you know, once I get successful, then I'll start giving. I'll start being a good tither. I'll start blessing other people, right? And what I came to realize is that I'll actually become wealthy from having that good heart, you know, from the start, you know, and actually giving when I have little to none. And over time, it's been able to bless me in so many different ways. But it's pretty remarkable how many people have that same mindset, that it's really like a poverty or a lack of playing defense type of mindset. So it, just like you said, you have to fall in love with the process versus the outcome, because the outcome, everybody sees people on social media, that overnight success, when really it took 20, 30, 15 years, you know, something along the route to be able to get all the success today, right?
That is a fact. There's no shortcut. One of my favorite books is The 4-Hour Workweek that Tim Ferriss wrote years ago. And it's funny, because the reality is there is no 4-hour way to wealth or prosperity. Like there's a lot more involved. And the funny part is, if you're working 4 hours and somebody else uses your same hacks and they're working 8 hours, they're probably going to demolish you. So like there are certain realities around doing the work. And it's funny, because nowadays it seems like work is a 4-letter word where people go, oh, I want to do the work. I just want the hack. It's like there is no hack for being healthy. Like you have to move and you have to decide what you're going to put in your mouth. And ultimately, these are these choices, and then they're rhythms and behaviors, and it's based on values and how you see yourself. So like to your point about abundance or scarcity, if you see yourself as a charitable giving person, you're going to do that no matter where you're at. You could have 10 bucks to your name and somebody's going to be in need and you're going to share because there's more than enough. And that there's this idea that once you have the money, you'll give it. The reality is, you make $1 million and you haven't been charitable, you're not going to go write somebody a check for $100,000. You just won't. It's not who you are. And that's the shift that people, like, you have to be that. And part of that is forming yourself, and it's going to the gym of prosperity. Like you have to go through the motions and build that muscle up. And I think people want to skip that step, and it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that. Talk to me about more in detail about this first real estate deal. So it was on a credit card, $6,000 with a friend.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Partners, this is a great example of partnership. So he comes in, he wants the money. And I said, cool. So I did it, and we own this house. And then I said, okay, well, now we have to fix this thing. Like it's a 50-year-old house. We got to figure it out. And he goes, yeah, it's not worth my time. And I was like, what do you mean it's not worth your time? So all of a sudden, I'm now the remodeler, and I don't know anything about remodeling. I don't know anything about electricity. I figured out how to electrify and electrocute myself. I fell off the roof. I got super high from all the paint because I didn't know you're supposed to open the windows. I didn't know anything. And he went off and decided that he was going to go look for more deals. And so I can appreciate the fact that you're going to make money when you go find the deal and create the deal and all that. What was wild is that I learned all that stuff. I lived at Home Depot for about 6 months, and that led into all these other houses. Meanwhile, he never really wanted to do the work. And so ultimately, I remember meeting him about 10 years later, and he was driving a cab, and he actually was homeless. He was sleeping in a tree in a hammock. And I saw, and this is one of the big, you want to hack? It's called work ethic. You want to super, super jump everybody else?
Yeah.
Go grind. And that's
what the cheat code. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the cheat code. Up, up, down, down, left, right. Like it's like literally go do that stuff. So I ended up just going and doing the thing over and over again. And then I kept learning from people that had done it. So I didn't go find a book from somebody that hadn't really done it. They just learned from another book. I went and found the people that were doing it. And then I just modeled them. And that's really how it's been for everything, from that one thing to raising hundreds of millions of dollars from private investors and building manufacturing plants and all the things in between. It's about finding the model and then not feeling like I have to do it some unique, different way. There's times for that. But I think especially when you're early and the ego is involved, you're like, yeah, but I'm smarter or it's different this time. And the reality is things are seasonal and they rhyme. Mark Twain was right. So I was smart enough and dumb enough in the beginning to just say, okay, well, whatever you guys did that it worked, I'm going to do it. That's a huge advantage to not having to make up everything.
Yeah, that's so good. I was so stubborn when I first got started in real estate that I read all the books, all the podcasts. I even had some mentors guiding me, and I made an exception for almost everything that I knew not to make an exception for. And it bit me in the ass so many times that I was like, okay, It's solidified. I know it to be the fact now. You know, I needed to touch the burner. And after it got burnt several times, then I realized, you know, this is why it's set up like that. But you can't outsource your pushups. You know, it's really important to identify, like, putting in that hard work. It sounds like your friend was kind of like a deal junkie, which is okay to like go to the next deal. As long as you have that, especially with partnerships, that you have that expectation up front and lay it out in stone and you know who's responsible for what. Otherwise, if you kind of just jump into things with partners, it can be a mess. And then you find out who's really, you know, responsible for what and who's got the money in it. And then Nails needs to step up to the plate to make sure it gets done to get their money back, right? Which is important. So sounds like you rolled up the sleeves, you put in the hard work, you learned a lot from that. You had mentors kind of guide you and learn from. And obviously it's blessed you in many ways. Talk to me about lead flow now. Like, how'd you get up to, in just a few short years, 150 rentals? I want to know about like leads. How are you getting them as well as financing?
It's interesting because this was the early 2000s and it was just all about guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
It was about doing things. And so if something's working, you can emulate it. Whenever I see people that are digital marketing and they're selling a course and they're selling a course on how to do something, here's a hack. Stop buying what they're selling and go figure out what they're doing, selling you on the thing, and then emulate how they're selling you. Like the process, these digital marketers are brilliant. So back then, I had vehicles that were wrapped. They were giant black vehicles that were wrapped with yellow letters all the way across them. You could see them from space. When I was skydiving, I could see my truck from a couple miles up. It was that big and bold, doing that stuff. And it was all the old school stuff. A lot of what's happening is everything's going digital. And so I was doing things that were very, very visceral. Like I was using door hangers. I was using, when the Yellow Pages was not digital, like I had stuff there. One of the things I find very useful for getting connecting with people is using physical stuff, because everything is digital and it's very noisy in the digital space. So it's sometimes really hard to get in front of the right people. But you know what? FedEx gets in front of people and they pay attention to it. And that's probably one of those hacks that people will say, yeah, but that's a lot of work and it's a lot of money. And the return on using that medium is like exponentially better than almost everything that's out there, because you're the only one that's going to be doing it. So that's one of the questions. What can you do that is tried and true that other people aren't willing to do because they're too lazy? And quite frankly, I think most people, there's a guy that wrote a book, Lazy Man's Millions or something. And I remember seeing him at a seminar and he said, I got this new book, and he told me about it. And I was like, I'm not inspired by your book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just going to outwork you and outthink you, and you're going to be trying to, and the cover of the book is somebody on a beach.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, but that's, you know, again, there's nothing inspirational about that. You look at people, whether it's Damon John or whoever's out there that's created something that we're impressed by, and they didn't do it by trying to not do the work. They went out there and did the work. So I think really it's important, and not just in your industry. So when you're asking, how are you getting leads, or, you know, how are you finding people that you're going to do business with? You may not necessarily want to just look at your bubble. Like, going to a real estate conference is great if you're doing real estate. What's also great is going to a beer brewer's convention and seeing what they're doing. And I'm no joke. Like, you see stuff and guess what? Nobody from your industry is going to be at that place.
Yeah.
So you're going to get ideas. And I always thought that was very interesting to go. Like, I spend a lot of time with dentists and I'm seeing what they're doing. And I'm trying to understand their marketing, because dentists are great at marketing. I mean, great practices are. And in my industry, in manufacturing and real estate, there's nobody doing the dental stuff. So I go, okay, cool. So I'm always leveraging off of other brain power that's not necessarily in my industry. I think that's a useful tool, and you're usually by yourself. So you're not really competing with other people.
I love that. That's a unique spin to things. Talk to me about financing these deals.
So in the beginning, innovation is like, necessity is the mother of all innovation. And the first house is on a credit card. And so one of the courses, in addition to guerrilla marketing, was creative financing.
Yep.
Like, when you don't have money, you got to figure out how to be creative.
Yep.
Use your brain. And so I went out and I took over a lot of mortgages. I took over dozens and dozens of mortgages. And then I said, okay, that's cool. There's also a lot of deals that I can't take over. And so what am I going to do? That's when you learn how to syndicate. That's when you learn how to go in and convince people and sell people on a vision where their money is working better than they can make it work. And so that's what it turned into. And so most of those deals, I would say probably 80% of them involved investors. The beginning ones had to be me, because nobody knew if I could do it. And when I started doing it and getting it done, then people said, okay, now I want to join in and be a part of this. So it was a combination. Very, very little was me going to a bank. I mean, quite frankly, going to a bank is a pain, because banks, not only are they a pain in the ass, they don't understand the model and they're highly regulated. So you've got to be smarter and quite, it's also super slow. So unless you're doing an apartment, like we're doing the manufacturing plant that we're building called FrameTech, it's all private. We haven't used a bank for anything because banks don't like things that are not risk-free. Banks love risk-free. They'll give you all the money in the world. But if you're going to do something, like, you know, we've raised over $100 million for this one project in cash. That's from individuals. And that's because we know how to talk to them. We know how to sell the vision and we know how to execute on this thing. So I think that's one of those skill sets that you got, you're really, really good at. That's what I got good at because I didn't have another option. Like if the bank's saying no, you got to figure out who's going to say yes. And that may be a seller, it may be a private party. But the reality is there's so much money out there. Everybody's heard this. There's so much money out there. How do I get it? Well, you become world-class. My friend Steve Siebold has books about this, becoming world-class. And when you become world-class, money is attracted to world-class. Money's not attracted to people that want to work 4 hours a week. It's not attracted to poor mindsets. It's attracted to people that are going to be good stewards of it, that have values and principles that are going to guide them towards success. That's where the money flows to 100% of the time.
I love that. That's so good. That's so good. Talk to me about the deadly mistakes investors make while utilizing their IRA account to invest in REI.
There's a lot of people that get pitched by IRA companies. They have rollover money from 401ks and they go, oh, cool. I can use my retirement money and do other things. Like I can self-direct it. And what they don't realize is that when you're using an IRA, one, you've got a custodian that's going to get in your way. And what people were doing a lot in the past is they were taking their IRA money and they were doing these self-directed IRAs with LLCs, which aren't illegal. The U.S. court system has can't do it. If you do it, they can disqualify the IRA. So that's a huge problem that people are still doing. And a lot of IRA companies are ignoring this. And the other one that's really brutal, when people are using their IRA money for real estate, one of the things we love about real estate is there's debt. We get to use all this debt. If you use debt, if there's debt involved and your IRA is putting up equity money, you get something called UBIT triggered. It's unrelated business income tax. And it's triggered by this thing called UDFI. Governments love acronyms. So the UDFI is unrelated debt financed income. Basically, the IRS says you're cheating. You're using leverage, which is what we love about real estate. You're using leverage. And so we're going to give you a special tax that could be up to 37% on your leveraged profits. So one of the things I love, like I bought that house, $6,000 in cash advance. And then I took over a mortgage of probably $110,000. So, you know, I had this thing, what is that, like 94%, 95% leveraged. Yeah. If I did that, and I ultimately sold that house that number of years later, I think I sold it for like $160,000. So if I had used IRA money, $6,000 from an IRA, that would have been a huge problem because I would have had to write a check for somewhere in the neighborhood of about $25,000 to $30,000 from this special tax. Now, the cool thing is if you use like what I created a decade ago is the EQRP, which is a type of a 401k, that you can convert an IRA into it. And when you buy real estate using that retirement account, there's no UBIT. It's like night and day. Like you're doing the same deal, the same house, the same apartment. And instead of paying the tax, you pay no tax. So it's just having better information. And the reality is if you're being marketed to by big companies, they're not going to tell you all the information. They're going to tell you what serves them and makes them a lot of money. So this is like watching this, listening to this conversation, you're going to have information that the vast majority of people that are using IRAs have no idea about. And it's a game changer. It literally could hack off 5 or 10 years of you working because you got to keep all that extra money. You're not paying in taxes. And it's just because you did something differently. And that's just the specialized knowledge, as Napoleon Hill used to say in his books.
So you're saying that individuals with their IRA accounts, they can actually avoid paying additional taxes and literally on the income that they utilize their IRA account, they put it to work. Any profits that they make off of that, they don't need to pay additional taxes on that.
Yeah. So this is a special tax. This is outside of the income tax. This is like an extra tax. And that's a tax that most people get a tax bill and they say, accountant, what is this? And the accountant says, oh, you had a leverage thing. Here's the scary part. A lot of accountants don't even know about this.
They don't know.
The tax is wrong. They're not even filing them because people don't even mention that they have an IRA, that they're buying real estate. So they don't say anything.
Sure.
Well, if the IRS comes back 5 or 10 years down the road and says, oh, you had leveraged real estate here. You owe a whole bunch more taxes and maybe we're going to disqualify your plan. So there's a huge problem people don't know about. And then when they do find out about it, it's too late. What's great is like, let's say you had an IRA and you bought some real estate. You're like, oh, dang, I've got real estate that's got a whole bunch of debt, or any debt for that matter, you can actually convert. It's called an asset rollover. You're rolling over the assets. So you have this piece of property, you move it from the IRA into an EQRP, and now it's exempt from that tax. Hmm. So you can solve this problem if you know the solution, but people aren't talking about the solution. They're talking about how you can go get a really cheap IRA somewhere and you can buy real estate. And that's where the conversation ends. And they're not, and then they talk about things like UBIT blockers with the corporation and entities. And not, that doesn't block it. What that does is it reduces it by maybe half. So you're still paying, say, 20% taxes. I would rather pay zero. Like my goal is to get as close to zero as possible. And that's simply by changing your structure. And it's really not that complicated if you've got the right people on your team.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel way better equipped to put my taxes to work versus Uncle Sam, you know, what he's been doing with it. So by all means, I want to get as close to zero as possible. Talk to me. You have a frame tech. I believe that's what it's considered. It's really disrupting the construction and framing space for new builds right now. I'd love to hear about it. It sounds incredible. It's really mind-blowing, some of the numbers that you shared with me prior. So feel free to give us that 30,000 foot view. But for anybody that doesn't know what the heck that is, what you're up to these days, please, you know, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so FrameTech is a vertically integrated framing company. We're basically building houses and apartments. And we take it, like, for example, we take a 2,000 square foot house. You bring us an idea. You have plans. You bring them to us. You'll have a framed house in 2 weeks. And normally that process is 2 to 3 months. And not only is it super time consuming, but there's a lot of waste. You're going to have 15, 20% waste. You're like dumpsters full of wood. We have virtually no waste because of the process. It's a patented process. And so FrameTech was this idea from people that have been in this industry for decades. And they said, we've got this idea and we need capital. So we came together and we said, okay, we're going to bring the capital and we're going to bring some help in terms of management and financial oversight. And ultimately we partnered up with them and we built this thing. This was a napkin 2 years ago. Today, the plant is built and our equipment is coming online. We have revenue. And it's interesting because we've gone from this idea, literally a napkin at a lunch meeting 2 years ago, to a company that's worth $500 million today. And it's interesting because the whole country, all the builders, the big suppliers like Builders First and USLBM, they're all paying attention because this fundamentally changes the industry. And, you know, we were talking about this offline. There's no innovation in construction. Yeah. There hasn't been since the nail gun 50 years ago. And people say, well, what about things like 3D printing and different? That's awesome. We have a 4 to 7 million unit gap right now. That was before all of the immigration that's been happening the last few years. There's probably 8 to 10 million units that are missing in the United States. Sure. We need all of the help, all of the different ideas. And so FrameTech is one of those. And it's the first two plants in Arizona. It'll be heading across the country. It'll be in Texas and Florida and the Carolinas. And ultimately, FrameTech is part of the solution. And that's the key, Brandon. It's really whatever you're going to be doing, find solutions. Don't try to go make money. Find big problems and create big solutions. Money becomes this really interesting side effect. I thought maybe that was true when I really bought into it and let go of just trying to get money. The money has shown up in such a, like, literally hundreds of times more and faster than I've ever seen it in my life. And that's because I was focusing on how do I solve these really big problems? Problems are everywhere. And FrameTech is a huge solution to a ginormous problem.
I love that. Yeah, they always say if you want to make $1 million or $1 billion, you got to figure out how to help 1 billion people. Obviously, this solution right here is definitely well on its way. A question, is this something almost like a Lego type of construction? Is it pieces?
So we're taking wood and we bring it into a system, and it's called a finger joining process. So we take all these boards and we create one infinite board. And this is the patented technology that all these machines are used. There's a lot of robotics involved. And then ultimately we take all these components, and when you come to the plant, anybody that wants to come see it and interested, maybe looking at it or investing or seeing the future of framing, you'll notice that a ton of people have been taken out of the process. So this company, each plant has a couple hundred people there. But what we've done is we've taken out all of this really painful process of swinging a hammer and smashing plates onto trusses. And it's being done with compression and robotics and very, very tight tolerances. So you have a higher quality product that's done in a manufacturing place. And ultimately, what we do is we're building the floors, the walls, and the trusses in the plant. We put them on our trucks. Our team takes them out to a site and then puts these walls, trusses, and floors together. And so when we're on site, we take all of our pieces. This is your custom house. This is not a manufactured prefab. This is literally the house that you designed, and you have a framed house, and it takes us 2 days to assemble it on site. So you've got a very predictable, very consistent quality product, and you're not destroying forests because you're not throwing away half the wood. So it completely changes the entire system. And quite frankly, it's needed. I mean, after 2008, we had 75% of the trades go out of business. That's one of the reasons that we have such a shortage. People left and they haven't come back.
They haven't come back.
No. So that's what this is doing. It's not saying, okay, we need to make everything out of cement through a 3D printer. Yeah. That's one of the solutions. But 92% of the construction is wood. It's a renewable resource. So we're using that and innovating within that in a pretty extreme way.
I love it. What is the cost difference? I know it's saving money, it's saving labor, it's probably getting more proficient and less people getting hurt, stuff like that, which is all incredible. But with this new technology, it sounds more advanced and it is the future. Is this costing more or is it actually roughly about the same or savings?
So everything that we did is based on charging the same amount as the industry. So what happens is in construction, you get cost, quality, or speed. Mm-hmm. Typically, you're lucky if you get two.
Yeah.
You might just get one. You're never going to get three. You're never going to get best price, the best quality, and fast.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're saying, what are the biggest problems? Quality and speed. And we could charge more because as a developer, what I want is I want great quality and I want it. And I'm willing to pay a premium for that. And so what we've said is, well, we can actually compete at the market and have a better quality product and have it faster on time. So the builders are lined up. And if we wanted to, we could charge more. And they would say yes, because time is money. In construction, like, you can't afford extra months. And when we can pull off months on an apartment, 100-unit apartment complex, it takes 10 months to frame.
Yeah.
It takes us two. So this fundamentally changes somebody's entire pro forma when they can squeeze that type of time and get it back, and they don't have to go in and deal with all of the framers. And do you know an average house has about one wall worth of wood stolen from it on a job site? Like, this is the stuff that's being eliminated. So you think about all the waste and all the lost money, and we've solved that problem in a massive way.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that. Man, Damon, this is really good. Talk to me. Where is the future for you guys? It sounds like you got amazing, incredible things going on. And, you know, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I think part of that question, I think there's a really valuable lesson that when in years past, and this is true for a lot of people, when you ask somebody what they're doing and they'll say, well, I've got these 15 different things. And you're like, okay, so you're basically poor is what you're telling me. Not only are you poor, but you're poor.
Yeah.
And I go, and it's like consulting, but it's actually very true. There's this one thing. So I have an incredible community built around EQRP, the retirement space, where we help people with their retirement money. And my focus, like, I live half an hour from my plant. I have one thing. It's called FrameTech. And when you get one thing and you narrowly focus on it, wealth is built in a focused way. Wealth is maintained in a diversified way. But people tend to get that backwards. They go, oh, well, I'm going to diversify my way to wealth. No, you're not. You're going to diversify your way into maintained poverty. And so FrameTech is where what I live and breathe. My job is to be like my COO, Josh Lewis, and bleed sawdust, you know, at some point. But really, that's where I'm hanging out. That's where I'm spending my time. And if you want to see more about that, check out frametech.com. That's where we're at. It's TEC.com. And you'll find me talking about it on LinkedIn. And I think it's not only is it interesting for people that are curious about what's happening in construction and potentially an incredible investment, but it's also a great way to say, okay, I'm going to use this as a bar to compare every other investment to this thing. Because the way that I look at investing, there are certain criteria and rules, everything that has to be in a deal for me to be interested. This thing has all of that. So if you look at this, you go, okay, my next deal that I'm looking at or that I'm going to pitch or that I'm going to create, it needs to be, has to have all these things. You're going to have the money flowing to you when you have all the criteria met the way that FrameTech does, because that's what people are looking for. And this really is a great bar. It's a great way to measure everything else compared to it.
Man, I love it. Yeah, I'm definitely interested myself. That sounds incredible. I love being a part of things that are really just changing the game, disrupting, and is the future. So it sounds incredible. I highly recommend all of our listeners to reach out to Damian and to check out everything that he's got going on. It's very impressive, to say the least. And I mean, worth $500 million right now, something that was on a napkin just 2 years ago. Just super incredible, man. Obviously, you're definitely an action taker. You put in the hard work, you roll up the sleeves, you get dirty to make it happen. So just like you said, you know, the person that that chases multiple rabbits, catches none, you know, focusing and laser beam focus is really what will take you to the next level. So obviously you demonstrate that on a daily basis. So I appreciate your time greatly, my friend. You know, you gave an hour of your time with us today. Anything that we could do to, or myself could do to give back to you?
I think the best thing that people can do is step up, choose your rabbit, go hunt the rabbit, wear the rabbit out, and then get the rabbit.
Yeah.
And we need more people doing that. We need people that are focused, they're decisive, they're committed, they're resilient. And it'll help shift this weird space where society's kind of going the opposite direction, where people are feeling more entitled and more victim-like, and they're focused on the wrong things. And I think that there's a huge value in leading by example, by the work that you're doing, by the time that you spend. And instead of telling people, like, that's one of the things that I think is crazy with social media. A lot of people, a lot of influencers are telling, talking, blah, 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 yapping, and it's all noise. What I'm interested in are the people that are doing it and showing. Like, when you look at LinkedIn and you see all the stuff that's going on with FrameTech, you see what we're doing. You see what we're building. It's coming to life. It's not about us telling a story about something that we might do someday. This is what's happening today. This is what's real. And we need people just going out there and building things and inspiring people. And I mean, that's what builds back America. Not a bunch of politicians yapping about something that some, you know, old age idea. We need people out there doing it. And, you know, the results speak everything.
Amen, brother. I love that. Very cool. Well, I appreciate your time today. Again, everyone, I highly encourage you to reach out to Damien. Wealth of knowledge and the experience is like none other. So definitely check out his website and reach out to him privately. You have a podcast as well, FU, Financial Underdogs. I'm so excited to tune in and listen to that podcast as well. Guys, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always do so on Instagram. It's Brandon Elliott Investments. Otherwise, our new IG account for Credit Counsel Elite, go check it out. Go follow us there. And then if you really want to check out like what we got going on behind the scenes for Credit Counsel Elite, we're teaching business owners just like you how to get massive amounts of funding. I'm talking $200,000, $300,000, or even $500,000 in new capital in the form of credit, getting 0% interest credit that you can pay back over 18 months and so forth. So if you're looking to get several hundred thousand in the next 30 to 90 days, check out Credit Counsel Elite today. You can watch a quick 10-minute video that gives more clarification. And then after, you can jump on a quick call with us to get a second opinion. So we will see you on the next podcast episode next week. Make sure if you have not already, hit that subscribe button to Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast. You'll get that new notification every Monday. And then leave that 5-star review. Greatly appreciate all the love, all the support. You guys are amazing. We'll catch you on the next one. Till next time, guys. God bless. Damien, appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been another episode of Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by Brandon Elliott. For more information, please visit BrandonElliottInvestments.com. Also, please don't forget to like, share, and leave a comment below. Thanks again for joining. Until next time, God bless.